11 through 14. But what I'd like to do while you're standing is read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10 to give us some context. I was told by Sister Tina Johnson, you sure talk loud. So I'm going to try to turn that volume down today. Sound like you've been overruled, sister. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 10. And everybody has that right. Don't you ever come to church without your Bible. Ever come to church without your Bible? Ever. You better make sure I'm telling you the truth and I'm telling you in the right context. Somebody know the truth there. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the will of the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Y'all got that right? Now, Ephesians 11:1, we got that context. Oh, technology working today. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, going to verse 14, reads, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to his praise, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Amen. You can sit down now. That was a lot of reading there. If I chance your knees like mine, they are. I'm not talking about Brother Ernest, I'm talking about me. Our subject today is my inheritance in Christ. My inheritance in Christ. I don't know about you all, but there have been times when I wish I had a rich Daddy Warbuck. I don't get too many laughs there, okay? That I had someone I could have an inheritance in, Pastor. Man, I get me a nice car, something like that, and had this girl with a fat rock on the ring finger there. If I had an inheritance, but what I really want to do is turn your attention from a natural situation to a supernatural situation. You all are a heritage. Are you all listening? You are somebody's inheritance. Can you believe that? Because if you like me, you kind of messed up. And if you're like me, you'd ask the question, who in the world would want to inherit me? Well, I'm here to tell you today that God knew you before he called you. Is that right? He knew everything about you. He knew about all the relationships and things you shouldn't have been doing, and this, that, and the other. He knew everything. But he made, this is good, he made even Ernest a heritage. Yeah. Listen. I'm sorry, Pastor, I won't step on them Johnson Murphys, man. I ain't got that much money. Listen, you all. This is the beginning of time, right here. This God stands at the beginning of time and says, I'm choosing Ernest. I'm making him a heritage. He's going to be an inheritance for my son. And he know everything about Ernest. Y'all don't get it, do you? It's not only Ernest, it's you. You've been messed up for a long time. God done saved you. And look at the beginning of the time, he still called you. You all, that's grace. That's grace. I tell you what, I heard a commentator say, you'll know me in heaven because I'll be running like this. Grace! 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 Because it is so amazing. Why in the world would he pick us? God demonstrated his love in that. While we were yet, what, without strength, Christ died for what, the ungodly. And now listen, you all. Well, I guess I'll get to that. Listen, he actually wants you to turn around and exhibit that to somebody else now. And listen, we got a problem, you all. If we know a lot about your past, I know a lot about the pastor's past, I may have some prejudice about that. Yeah, but no. God didn't hit the butt button on you, did he? Okay. Pastor, I'm like, you spent too much time there. And I ain't even, Pastor, I ain't even in it yet. This is a sermon outline, and it'll be short. You'll see. Somebody laughing. Who was that laughing? Okay. I needed that encouragement. Thank you. One is the source of the Jews' inheritance being predetermined by God, which is verse 11. Number two, God determines the order of salvation for his what? Glory. Number three, Paul gives the source of the Gentiles' ability to hear and believe and their common guarantee, both Jew and Gentile, verses 13 to 14. Everybody got that? I'm not a Rhodes Scholar, so you should be able to understand my thought process here. Paul tells his hearers that in Christ, the Jewish believers were made an inheritance. I find that absolutely incredible. And the reason I find that incredible, the pastor touched on it this morning. Y'all ought to be in Sunday school. I mean Bible study, pardon me, pastor. Because, listen, he brought them out of Egypt. And soon after he get them out of Egypt, they grumbling and complaining. He bring them through the Red Sea, pastor. All them people go through. They get on the other side, they still complaining. But listen, this is encouraging to me. Encouraging to me. If God call you, he's never finished with you. Did nobody catch it? Okay. When God call you, he's not finished with you. So now listen, you all. Give me an example. Come here, Brian. Oh, good. No, she didn't roll up. Bruh, smooth. Listen, Brian is useless, no good. Say right there. God stand out here in the beginning of time before he's even born and say, I want Brian. Now listen, he's not worth much to Pastor Woodmore because of his past, all the things he's done. But this magnificent, glorious God says, before time was, I want Brian, no matter what he's doing. God don't choose you according to, thank you. He don't choose you according to what you are. He chooses you according to what he's going to do in you. That's why we don't have no business critiquing nobody, Pastor. Because just like God ain't through with you, he ain't through with them. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 13, 16. I'm out of breath and I ain't even started. Lord Jesus. The backdrop is we got another one that God stood before the beginning of time. And we're just about to read about him. Before anything was, God called this boy here. And if I look at his whole track record, I would stand back there and say, what are you doing, God? This guy's useless. And he's misguided. But God got a way to fix the useless. He got a way to on that too long. Acts chapter 9, verse 13 and 16. This is a context. You have Saul persecuting the church, and that's a whole nother sermon there. He's persecuting the church. He's got letters and everything from the chief priests, and he's after the church. But on the road to Damascus, this same God who called you from the beginning actually has a boundary for Paul. Paul gets to the boundary line and God meets him on the road to Damascus. He knocks him off the horse. He gets up. He can't see. They got to take him into Damascus. Now, while he's in Damascus, this great God calls Ananias and say, Ananias, I want you to go lay your hands on this one. Listen to me. On this one that I done called before the foundation of the world, I want you to go put your hands on him. Now listen, God calls you according to his wisdom. Had it been Pastor Woodmore, he would have said, boy, you better get somebody. I'm not saying you would, Pastor. You better get somebody else. Don't you know this guy's track record? He after your church, your body. But the problem was in that, you all, listen, the church was supposed to spread out and they were in Jerusalem. They wasn't going nowhere. God raised up this man, persecute the church, and they got to scatter now. Listen, the one you think is useless and worthless, God is working it out. You have a purpose in the plan of God. You have no business sitting on your keister, and he's called you to do something. Because what do you know? You may be somebody else's help. Okay. Ananias say, Lord, you know who he is? You better look at your record. You got all the records. You better look at it close. God said, listen, I've called him. Listen, I've called him to be an apostle to who? The Gentiles. Okay, all right. Acts chapter 9, verse 13 and 16. But Ananias answered, Lord, I heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. This smashes all the theology today, Pastor. I said Christians shouldn't go through nothing. Now, this God who is all-knowing and all-wise from the beginning of time calls this renegade out, I ain't talking about Ernest, calls this renegade out according to his wisdom. He knows exactly who he is. Sister Woodmore would actually say, yeah, Saul, you're all right. And you ain't coming to my house. I said that in jest. She's very hospitable. So everybody got where I was going, right? Everybody got where I was going. Before I go further, Elise, you did such a good job. Audrey did a great job last time I did with this. You thought you'd get it all, didn't you? Elise, come on. Come on, sweetie. The problem is, you all, there was a natural enmity between two peoples. Oh, that was unscripted again. That was good. Natural enmity. I represent the enmity. You have a Jew who is calling the Gentile a dog, and you have the Gentile laughing at the Jewish customs. That was unscripted too. Listen. I'm the enmity. What the text is really trying to say, God is able to break down the enmity between two arch rivals. That's what the text is saying. And then, listen, he makes those two a heritage to Christ. Wait a minute. That was unscripted too. That was good. Who can do that but a God? They were good too. I mean, no, that wasn't good. They was good. I'm actually script them some more. This inheritance is not by chance. It was predetermined to be applied to both Jew and Gentile by the will of God in Christ. That's why any religion other that Christ is not the center of is not good enough. Because God, the one who was at the beginning, according to his wisdom, says everything has to go through Christ. He's the great high priest now. The veil of the temple, when it was rent from top to bottom, God literally said, I have opened the way from the top to the bottom so that you can come in. There's still a veil now. Listen to me. But that veil is Christ's flesh now. And if you don't go through Christ, you don't get in. Okay. Pastor, too much time there. I'm starting to get a little hoarse. I'm going to have somebody read this for me. I wonder why I'm starting to get hoarse. Come on, Gentile.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. begins, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal power that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with the confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory."
Amen. 13. Amen. Everything goes through Christ. What about this inheritance thing going on? What about this inheritance thing? Now, listen, this is interesting. God is good at making exchanges. He's real good at making exchanges. He exchanged Christ's righteousness for my unrighteousness. And now Christ gets to inherit a slug like me, and then I get to inherit him. Don't that sound, Sister Brenda over here laughing. That sounds crazy. Yes, it does. I'm the beneficiary of this inheritance. What's inside this inheritance? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. I'm going to have somebody go there. Galatians chapter 5. Thank you. That's my baby. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23.
Galatians 5, 22 through 23. That I just missed.
You got a new phone too, don't you?
Big new phone.
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy.
Produce. Mm-hmm. It literally means produce. Go ahead.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
That's part of your inheritance, people. Stop praying for peace and stop praying for patience. Because according to the scripture, it's already included in your package. That's part of your inheritance. He took you and then he gave you his inheritance. Whatever's available through Christ Jesus is now available to you. And we run around here acting like we are paupers. We have an inheritance in Christ. I did my Superman pose. I didn't think y'all understood that. God determines the order of salvation. Verse number 12. I said before, God is never finished with whoever he calls. Never. You would figure, as bad as the Jews were, as they were going through the wilderness, and even after they settled in Cana, you would think that God would have said, "I'm finished with you now." But listen, he's not finished with it because he's always got a remnant. Remnant! Listen. We don't need a mega church here. God's principle is, brother, he can take 12 men according to what the Bible says and turn the whole world upside down. So, you don't need no big shots either, because with his power, He can take somebody like me and give the word, and you all would be like arrows in my quiver. Creflo A. Dollar Jr. Kenneth Copeland. What you do when you take the truth, it's undeniable. They may not get it, but listen. God's word will never return to him void without accomplishing that which he sent it for. Oh, thank you. Boy, I'm sure I'm glad about her. Paul gives a source of Gentiles' ability to hear and believe, and their common guarantee, both Jew and Gentile. Now, Paul links the Gentiles to this great inheritance that they received in Christ to believe the gospel of the grace and were sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is a down payment. Philippians 1:6. Let me get back to the ring, and I'm almost through. Don't nobody go to sleep because I'm going to call on you. What I did. Yeah, you can get it done. She is a great, great helpmate, I tell you that. Be careful. Okay, listen. I thought we bought this, but anyway. This is what happened. I gave her that one ring. And after we got to the altar, I gave her another ring. But we got another ring, and I'm not showing nothing off. I just want to make an example. We got another ring. Now, this ring is all soldered together, and I can't take the engagement band off no more. Let me give you an example. God has called you. You have become the bride of Christ now. Just like this ring is soldered together and it cannot be separated again, can you lose your salvation? No. Can you lose your inheritance? No. In order for me to get this ring apart, we got to do some serious blowtorching because it's soldered. Just like this ring is stuck together, I have frequently told my wife, it says until death do you part. If you try to leave, Pastor, I'm going to kill you. Everybody's laughing except her. So that's that went over like a lead balloon there. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, please. Philippians 1, verse 6. And with this, I'm going to call it a day. I'm too tired now to duck for the rotten tomatoes. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. As soon as you have it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, and I'm sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Just a simple one verse, you all. It literally says God has started a good work in you. He's going to continue the good work, and he's going to continue it so much so until the coming again of Jesus Christ, period. Now, you might say, what is all that for? What have you told us all this for? I literally told you this so you stop acting like you have no inheritance at all. If you realize what you have in Christ Jesus, your actions will be drastically different. I don't have no more sharp people here. No more. Jordan grew up now. He big now. Come on, Jordan, anyway. Who? Right here, brother. Step on. Now. My inheritance, this is my inheritance, old man up on the stool. I'm the problems. This is me. Listen, you all, I'm the problem. My inheritance says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My perspective, if I have the right perspective, who in the world can stand against me? God said to Joshua, there won't be anyone who's able to stand against you if you keep the word of God in you. Your inheritance makes you powerful. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't have to live the way I used to live no more. I'm a heavy drinker, smoking, everything else. God saved me like he saved you in the midst of a high binge. God opened my eyes and I could see. He brought me out in the midst of all that mess. And I'm not ashamed to tell you. I was messed up. But I'm here to encourage those here who are messed up and you think that you're too far gone. Because you look at me, if I told you the whole story, the pastor would put me out the church. If he can save me, he can save you. Listen. If you want this inheritance, which is in Christ, you have to go through the veil, which is his flesh. Conclusion, amen. Being reminded of this great inheritance that you have in Christ by the Holy Spirit, how will that affect your walk this week? Question. God in Christ saved you for a specific purpose. What is that purpose? You know, we get to the point that where we just lean in on the pastor to tell us everything. We literally getting lazy. We won't go to God and ask him nothing. I want you to go for him. Sound like the children of Israel talking to Moses. We don't want to talk to God. You go for us. No, you got to go yourself now. Whatever your purpose is, you better get busy doing it. God has, listen, in closing, for the 19th time, God told the church to go spread the gospel. They were in Jerusalem, just chilling. God literally sent a renegade Saul and scattered them. I don't want Trinity to be that church in Jerusalem. Did you hear me? Yes. Whatever he's calling you to do, get busy doing it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And don't worry about what nobody say. They didn't die for you. They didn't shed no blood for you. The one who shed blood for you is the one that's commanding you. Okay, that's it, y'all. Boom.